A controversial new state law took effect on January 1st. Now, every woman seeking an abortion will be asked for a specific reason why, and doctors will be required to report what they say. Women can decline to answer that question, but the new law has raised some outcry from pro-choice advocates who say it could discourage or shame women who want to have an abortion. But proponents of the law say its goal is to provide more information to the State Department of Health Services. According to Capital Media Services, patients will now be asked some pretty specific things, whether the abortion is elective or due to one of a list of medical conditions, whether they are being coerced into having an abortion, or if they are the victim of sex trafficking or domestic violence. It's worth noting, though, that the health department didn't propose or seek the new law. In fact, the agency registered as neutral on the bill. So what kind of effect could that information have for public health officials? For one perspective on that, I got a hold of Dr. Sarah Roberts, a professor at the University of California, San Francisco. Her work focuses on developing an evidence base to inform a genuine public health approach to abortion. And I started by asking her what we know about the effect of laws like this right now. Is there data available on that?
So not for this particular law,
which is a data collection law, but what we do know is that laws that seek to dissuade women from having abortions, such as mandatory waiting periods or mandated informed consent laws, we have evidence that those do not decrease the number of women having abortions, that the vast majority of women who are seeking abortions and presenting for abortion care are sure of their decision and proceed to have an abortion, regardless of the types of laws that seek to dissuade them.
Okay. And pro-choice groups here are obviously saying that this bill does do that. It aims to make it more difficult, the process more cumbersome for a woman who is seeking to get an abortion. But the people on the other side of this are saying that this will help public health officials in our state get more information about who is having abortions. From your perspective and based on the research that you've done in this arena, does that sound like something that would be helpful?
So as a public health professional, I have training in public health, both at the master's and doctoral level. My training was very focused on ensuring that the types of data that were being collected had a clear public health purpose. And so we already have data that are collected through health departments. Most states in the U.S., they have their health departments collect vital statistics data about basic information about the number of women who have abortions, their basic demographic information, including their age, their race, and where they live, whether they have previously given birth, for example. And that type of data collection is routine, and it's used to document trends in the number of abortions as well as the number of pregnancies in the United States. So that has a clear public health surveillance purpose, and those types of efforts have been going on in states for more than 40 years. In terms of the new additions, as I understand them, it's really unclear what the specific public health purpose is of collecting those data. There have been multiple national studies that have examined women's reasons for having abortions, and the data collected through those studies that have been published over multiple decades have been pretty consistent over time. So there's really no reason to think that collecting these data will tell us anything new.
So adding the question there, the why are you having an abortion question, women are also, under this law, allowed to decline to answer. They're not going to be forced to, obviously. So you think that, in general, this will not be, one, beneficial to public health, but it sounds like, do you think that also women will even answer it?
I don't know. I can't really predict what women will decide to do. As a researcher who collects data for research purposes, we're very clear with women about the purpose of our data collection and what we're going to do with it and the ways in which we're going to keep their information private. And we've had good success at getting women to agree to participate in our studies. I don't know whether that'll apply in this context.
Right, because they wouldn't be given sort of a clear research purpose, you're saying?
Yes.
Okay. So let's take that argument then that pro-choice advocates are saying here that this is just another hurdle, that this will, in the end, discourage women from having another abortion. You don't think that's the case then?
I don't think there is good evidence to suggest that this law will lead to fewer women having abortions. We know that the vast majority of women who present for an abortion are sure of their decision and then proceed to have an abortion afterwards, and that laws that seek to dissuade them really don't do so. Some types of laws that require additional waiting time, for example, they do lead to increased costs, they do lead to delays, but they don't really dissuade women from having an abortion. I will say, I think that something that's also important to note from a public health perspective is that there's no good public health reason to limit women's ability to obtain abortions. Women who are able to obtain wanted abortions are less likely to be tethered to violent men, and they are less likely to be financially insecure over time, and less likely to experience physical health complications from a pregnancy than women who are denied an abortion and give birth. So there's no good public health reason to limit women's ability to obtain abortions.
Dr. Sarah Roberts is an associate professor in the Department of Obstetrics, Gynecology, and Reproductive Sciences at the University of California, San Francisco. Dr. Roberts, thank you for joining us to talk about this.
Thank you so much.